Meeting to order. This morning is kind of a special morning. We get to see a presentation about the University of Minnesota and Mayo's Bioscience Initiative. And while we're at it, don't have any minutes? Don't have any minutes to approve. Life is good.
Good morning, Tony.
Okay, with that, welcome to our committee. Would you give your name for the record so we can make sure, tell everybody you were here 20 years from now. If you ever want to listen to what you had to say, you can go to the Historical Society and dig up the tape. Welcome to the committee.
Chair Gunther and members of the committee, my name is Frank Serra. I'm the Senior Vice President for Health Sciences at the University of Minnesota, the Academic Health Center. Thank you for giving us some time this morning on behalf of the Mayo University Partnership. One of the deliverables of the partnership is an economic impact study of what the partnership value is to the state of Minnesota in the request of the partnership for its in the investment of the state of Minnesota in the partnership. And for that, we commissioned two groups of people. One is Tripp Umbach, and to my left is Paul Umbach, who will be making the presentation. And the other was a professor of applied economics in the College of Agriculture by the name of Professor Pardee, who this is his research field. So the partnership created a partnership, a public-private partnership, to put together this economic impact analysis. And with that, I will turn the presentation over to Mr. Umbach.
Thank you. Mr. Umbach, will you please give your name for the record?
I'm Paul Umbach, and I'm the president of Tripp Umbach in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for inviting us today. Our company has a branch office here in Minnesota, and over the last 15 years, we've been able to work throughout the country for about 500 healthcare organizations in 40 states. We've completed just recently a national study of the economic impact of every teaching hospital and every medical school in America, and we're qualified to do this kind of work. I'm going to take you through the presentation. Please feel free to ask questions as we go. I plan on spending only about 25 or 30 minutes with the presentation, and if you have questions, we'd be more than happy to answer them to the best of our ability. We've also passed out a copy, executive summary, of the report. The goals of the project were really, as Dr. Serra mentioned, to quantify the potential economic impact of the partnership, to also look at the importance and benefits of investing in biotechnology to the state of Minnesota, and evaluate the nature, the extent, and the successes of other state partnerships throughout the United States. There are all sorts of things that go into a study of this kind, including longer-term healthcare benefits and cost savings related to medical genomics and biotechnology. Minnesota, like every state, has growing and dramatically more expensive healthcare. And one of the benefits, in addition to the economics of spending money and attracting researchers and helping companies commercialize the economic development potential, there's also behind that cost savings with the healthcare benefits. Just a little overview of the national biotechnology scene. The biotechnology revolution has already begun. Definitely no state wants to be left behind. We find that states that we've done a study, part of this study actually was to evaluate what every state in the United States is doing, and we found that there's a lot of competition for this industry, and each state needs to establish a competitive advantage in order to attract the talent and the investment dollars. One of the things that I'll say maybe even more than once is that you folks have the opportunity here to have a competitive advantage because of the two organizations that are partnered in this. The Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota together represent, as a partnership, among the finest institutions in the United States. And I think it's important that we know that we're building on that. And according to our research, 41 states report having initiatives to support the development of biotechnology. in research, education, technology, infrastructure. There's quite a lot of competition out there, but one of the things we found is that certain states have invested quite a lot of money, but it's mostly because the states don't have much of a biotechnology infrastructure, and the only money really available comes from the states. In your situation, you have two fine, well-established institutions that have been investing money for a long time in technology. We actually saw state support decline after September 11th as every state was in a crisis in terms of dollars. But we're seeing that as states return to financial stability, more funding is being programmed now up until 2007. As you might know, some states earmarked money toward biotech from their tobacco settlement, and the states that pulled that money away are now looking like they're going to be putting that money back in now that the worst of the days are behind them. Close by, across the state line to the east of us in Wisconsin, we have an emerging biotech industry. There's quite a lot actually happening at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and there is a $317 million BioStar initiative that the state is behind, and there's also some venture capital. One thing I want to note about the state of Wisconsin is that they've made this a priority, and biotechnology is something that with quite a few firms. My next slide talks about some of the companies that have developed. Nope, I don't have that slide today. I can just tell you that about 30% of the biotech companies in the Madison, Wisconsin area are within 5 years old. They're definitely an area where you're seeing more and more kind of focus on biotechnology. But I think here in Minnesota, we really believe from our state-by-state review that Minnesota is in a unique position to become a leader in biotechnology and medical genomics. We think that there are a lot of strengths in agriculture and industrial biotech sector and also hybrid medical devices. I think it's important to keep in mind that you're not just starting a new economic development industry. You're not beginning with nothing. You're actually building on a state that has a rich medical device industry. You're building on two organizations. Certainly the Mayo Clinic already has a $4 billion annual economic impact and is responsible for more than 75,000 jobs to Minnesotans. The University of Minnesota has billions of impact and is responsible for many more thousands of jobs. We believe, though, that it will take sustained commitment from the state, both public and private institutions. Last night we did a presentation where it was brought up that, well, what about the existing industries in Minnesota and those industries that are developing their economic plans toward biotechnology? And I would say that we're really looking probably at a four-way partnership: Mayo Clinic, the university, the state of Minnesota, and also the existing industries. Because I believe, as the researcher that was in charge of this project, that the real economic benefit that's going to be happening over the next 5 to 15 years will be in the companies that are already here in Minnesota. And then the hope is to attract additional companies to a center for biotechnology.
Yeah, Mr. Humbuck, yes. Representative Linder has a question.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Humbuck, you mentioned 41 states are involved in some phase of this. Is there any attempt to coordinate among the states so that there's no duplication of money being spent for this, maybe the same research being done in different places?
That is a real good question. I am not aware of any federal coordination. I'm more shocked by the diversity in the industry, and I think that means that there probably won't be one. If you look at the last revolution, if you go through all the revolutions and you go to the digital revolution, only a few places really benefited dramatically from that. This revolution is far deeper and broader, with many more subspecialties and many more pieces expertise that one state or one institution could become aware of. We've done a study in Memphis, for instance, where orthopedics is the big thing that they're trying to become the leader in. In Pittsburgh, tissues. We have a tissue institute. Here at the Mayo Clinic, you really have, and at the University of Minnesota, specialties that they have that no one else in the world has. So in some ways, I don't think we'll see a Silicon Valley or a Boston Loop thing develop here, but the competition is pretty fierce. It's more for talent and for the intellectual capacity of the faculty and the scientists is where the real battle is going to be. So states that have a long history of attracting intellectual talent will do better than certain states that are trying to get in the game, but they don't even have an infrastructure to start with. The University of Minnesota Mayo have invested in this. The state has also invested substantially in the biotech field and is not behind the curve. As a state, you have already made investments in this area, and we did not find that Minnesota was behind. One of the things that was questioned to us when we began the study is it worth pushing this partnership forward in light of where we are in competition with others? I think that some of the numbers seem bigger that you see out of other states, but not the opportunity. The majority of my presentation is going to be on work that we did in partnership with the university researchers. They served us as sort of a peer review to the work we did. As we built models and as we did our work, Dr. Pardee and his team reviewed them with us. It was nice to have the opportunity to work with the university on that. Here's what we did. There was a lot of secondary data. I say that, but I also want you to know that we don't believe there's another study of this kind out there. There's a lot of data that's been gathered by other states, but we think that our research really goes beyond what has been done out there. Interviews with both company leaders. We did interviews with folks at both the university and Mayo Clinic. We did interviews with biotech leaders in other states around the country, and we did a state-by-state analysis of what's going on. We did primary data collection from as many sources as we could. Excuse me. We also developed economic scenarios, model assumptions, and a linear cash flow models. And what they are is Excel spreadsheets that are hundreds and hundreds of lines. I think about 1,700 lines of spreadsheet, different models. Each line has an explanation for what the assumption is and how we came to it, mostly from national standards. We came up with three real parts to the puzzle. One was a calculation of the economic impact of the partnership. The other was a calculation of economic impact of biotech spinoffs. And then the third was calculations of health benefits and cost savings. and that really rolled up to the whole thing. I'm going to take 1 second and just talk a little bit about the kinds of models that we built in as briefly as I can. Our models are called fresh dollar models, and they're based on inputs and outputs into an economy. And a lot of you on this committee know all about this because this is your area of expertise, too. What we're really counting is the dollars that stay within the state of Minnesota. So if a company, let's say it's the Mayo or the university, thank you, or let's say it's a new company that's formed, only the dollars that they spend on capital and on goods and services that stay in Minnesota are counted in these models. When people come from outside of the state as a researcher or for a conference or for a meeting, or even me coming from Pittsburgh, that adds to the state's economy. The other thing the models do is they also count all of the additional employment and all the additional jobs that are recirculating within the economy. But if a company that forms out of this partnership or a company that takes some of the commercialization or commercializes some of the technology and moves out of state or doesn't start here, none of that impact is counted. So I want to make it real clear that what we're really doing is not counting all the dollars. We're counting the in and out flows of dollars that get attached to the Minnesota economy. The actual numbers, I had a client one time said, well, you're wrong. I have a $1.2 billion budget. How can my impact on my state only be $700 million? I said, well, actually, you got a real good impact on your state because so much of what you spend goes out of state. And I think that's important to keep in mind that the models that we built are conservative in that they're showing just the dollars that stay in the state. I'm going to take you through also some assumptions just to kind of keep in mind. I'm trying to build. See, when you're talking about future economic impact, you have to build these assumptions and let everybody kind of let them sink in a little bit. I know in a committee meeting like this, it's difficult for me to throw all these assumptions and then I throw you numbers. We think that there'll be three levels of return: a low-level return, a mid-level return, and a high-level return. And we're also projecting in three time periods: 2010, 2015, and 2020. Another way to look at that is 5 years out, 10 years out, and 15 years out. You can decide how you want to look at that. In the low return, we look at for every dollar that is given to the partnership, there's a dollar that they leverage. That's not probably likely. What's more likely from our experience is the mid-range. Most partnerships like this can leverage $1.50 for every dollar that the state puts in. If you look at even how NIH funding and other federal programs are being designed, they really seek the leverage funding. And then in a high-level return, we'd see the $2 for every $1. The reason why we did three levels for three different years, you're really going to see nine different numbers on every slide, is there's time going forward, which is one issue, and then there's low and high with a mid-range scenario. But I want you to know that we really believe, our company believes, that the mid-range scenario is the most likely based on what we know about what you already have done, what you've already built, the opportunities that already exist in the economy, and we think that the mid-range scenario is the most likely. So when you see the numbers, I'm going to kind of focus on the mid-range, but you're going to be able to see. So if you're a pessimist, you can look at, I think it's red, and if you're an optimist, you can look at blue, and if you're a realist like me, you'll look at yellow. Yellow is the color that's the mid-range when we get to the colors. Each scenario assumes that the state of Minnesota commits $70 million in funding to the partnership over 5 years, which is about $14 million a year. Each scenario shows a return on investment for the state, and the scenarios include both policy recommendations and revenue projections that need to work in concert in order to produce the desired result. We believe your desired result is being the center of biotechnology. Here's a lot of information on what's built into the models in the low range, the mid range, and the high range. I'm going to take you through the mid range. You can look at the others while I do that. We're looking at likely to have 5 to 15 startup companies, that there'll be a leverage of $1.50. Certainly patents will be issued and developed. We see that the state is in a medium risk environment with a basic incentive package to new and existing biotech businesses. And I believe, we had a question last night, it was an excellent question on this, that your initiative right now is just about where it needs to be to get you into the mid-range scenario. It could be stronger, you all know that, but it doesn't put you in the low-range scenario. In the low-range scenario, you have no special focus on biotech at all, and there's no extra incentive. Businesses are treated exactly like any other business. We see an expansion of venture capital of between $8 and $13 million in this mid-range scenario. You might say, well, we don't have much venture capital right now. We're down to maybe $1 million less. Our research in venture capital shows the following, and I talked with our team today, this morning on this question. Money follows good opportunities. And that one of the things that we believe is if we build a strong partnership and we create the fertile environment, the money will flow. Venture capital money is fluid enough to find good investments. And we believe in this situation, we'd be looking at venture capital flowing to this. There'd be an expansion of $8 to $13 million. Health benefits, we think there could be a 3% cost savings in those areas where the partnership is doing applied research, and there are four areas right now that are being funded. And then the expansion in the key business sector of 2%. What that means is that we really believe that the entire business sector for biotech and the companies in that sector can grow by 2% with the encouragement that would come through the partnership. All of these scenarios can be debated. Each of them came from our own research and our own interviews. We were extra conservative, I felt, as we went through the assumptions. When you have one major discovery and you have cost savings of 3% becomes nothing. You could see cost savings being way more than that. You have one small company that becomes a Medtronic or becomes a 3M, and it blows all these assumptions out the water.
We have a question from Representative Osterman.
Yes.
And Representative Mahoney.
Thanks. I think you started to touch on it just now, but the assumption is, and using the diabetes research or the obesity research,
right,
is that when the research is applied, there would be that health benefit savings. So as far as that mid-range scenario goes, if that discovery isn't applied until year three,
right,
we wouldn't necessarily be realizing savings in any of those areas until year three, and then that's when that would...
That is correct.
Okay.
What makes this a little difficult is that every year won't be exactly the same. Early years won't have the biotech spin-off at the same level. Later years, there'll be more dollars proportionally going into that. With cost savings in the health industry, we'd probably look at a longer-term time for those to be fully realized from research into application and commercialization into health savings.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Osterman.
So then those would be compounded, essentially, then.
Mm-hmm.
You might have 3% in one area, 3% in another.
That's correct.
I mean, hypothetically, you
right,
could, or 1% or 1.5% in
mm-hmm,
5. Or, okay.
And what we're going to be looking at, just to clarify, too, is that these are going to be annual economic impact numbers to the state. So it's kind of an average of weighted mean, in a sense, over a 5-year period.
Okay.
1 year might be 1% cost savings. By year 4, it might be 5. It might be 5 with 3 in the middle, and it averages to 3.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing.
Representative Mahoney, your pitch.
I actually have a couple of questions. Did your scenarios, you talked about patents in your other scenario, any further comments on the number of patents or what would happen with those, or how was that drawn into your study here?
That's a good question. Both of our organizations, both of the organizations involved, register quite a lot of patents. We did not model any additional patents. We felt that that would be a constant. That's why it's shown with no change across that table. The thought among the team was we don't really know, although there'll be more researchers and there'll be more folks with the opportunity for more patents. The other thing is that the history is not clear on how many of the patents actually are provided. And then there's also the other issue of because there's so many that both already register, that we didn't put anything in our model that showed that they would do more than they're already doing. So that it's mostly in the slide just to show that it is a constant level, at the same level that they're currently registering patents.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you. Hopefully the two organizations will work harder to help those develop as businesses in the state.
But yeah.
The second question I have is you have a part in there, the expansion of key business sectors by using the mid-range scenario is 2%. Could you elaborate on what you call the key business sectors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they? What's the companies in them? Just so that we have some idea what companies we're talking about, whether they're the mom and pop operation out in, Elbow Lake, or the mm-hmm. 3M, right next to my district.
It would be the whole range within the sector, within the SIC code, and 3M definitely would be in there. IBM even in where informatics meets biotech, and there's some work already being done with Mayo and IBM right now. There's opportunity too to look at just in our analysis. We just took the core sector of biotechnology. What we don't have in here, and was raised last night, is the induced economic impact of, let's say, agricultural expansion or other allied industrial expansion or medical devices that could be expanded. So we've taken a very conservative approach, and we've looked at just the core of biotech. I don't have right on the top of my head exactly what the numbers of those SICs are and how they work, but that's a follow-up that we can provide to your staff and give you a complete rundown on what was in. One thing I do know for sure is that there are industry segments that are going to be touching that core that we looked at that we're not modeling any growth, but just intuitively we know that agriculture might benefit dramatically from biotech growth because there's so much agricultural. In fact, our co-researcher on this project is an agricultural economist, Dr. Pardee, his indication to us was that it's good and probably fair to keep that from our models at this point, but yet to understand but back to your question, it's the entire segment from the smallest companies, and it's not geographically specific either. If you look at where companies are located in this industry, they're really scattered throughout the state.
Representative Mahoney.
Two things here. So it would behoove, you know, the committee to know, to ask from one of the departments in the state, you know, a list of the companies that might be affected by biotechnology just as a whole, so that we as a committee understand that particular part. But your study does not, and that's separate. This is the question. Does your study then not take into account the spin-off manufacturing? I think we had a presentation on manufacturer, and I'm trying to think of where she was located, but I think it was up in the northern part of the state. Your study is not taking into account any of the jobs or any of the investment that might be made outside the U of M, outside the Mayo Clinic, in the manufacturing of biotech parts, biotech whatever they're manufacturing. Does not take that into account?
That is correct. Okay. It would be in addition. And nor production in agriculture or other allied industries that would. And I guess my follow-up to that, Mr. Chair, is we had to confine the study quite a bit. The swimming in and out and the interrelationships within an economy are so vast and so complex that at some point we would be able to, if we went too far, I think we'd give an exaggeration of what the partnership really can take full responsibility for, but we also understand that there are ripples that continue out into these other industries that would be greater, and maybe an expanded study could be done over time to measure what happens with those other industries.
Mr. Chair, just so you know, Mr. Day, this committee's never heard an exaggeration.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Except those from an Irishman in Eastern St. Paul. Anyway, I have a question. When we talk about the partnership, the issue of intellectual property, who owns the idea or the discovery? The student, the professor, the university, private partner, or how is this addressed or is it addressed? You know, we want to have this affect Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of crackless wild rice and many things that just were discovered here and just left.
I'm going to ask Dr. Sarah to help me with that.
I wanted to get him included.
Good.
Welcome again to this committee, Dr. Sarah.
Thank you. The ownership of intellectual property can be made very complex or kept very simple. The partnership has decided to keep it simple.
Good.
And the way this would work is the intellectual property has to have a discoverer, and that's the faculty that discovered it. If that faculty is employed by the Mayo Clinic, then we follow Mayo Clinic rules. If it's employed, if that faculty is employed by the university, then we follow university rules. So the owner is ultimately the institution. But as you know, you apply for a patent under the name of an individual who works for that institution. So the ownership of the patents stays in the state of Minnesota in one of these two institutions. That's the first answer to your question. Those two institutions can license that intellectual property for use, and I think the partnership has come to the point that we will do everything we can to keep that intellectual property inside the state of Minnesota. Now, because both institutions have federal money from National Institutes of Health primarily, we are also bound by the constraints of the federal Bayh-Dole Act, which require us to commercialize to the extent that it's possible. So there does exist the possibility that some of those licenses may go out of the state. But our intent is to keep it in the state. And certainly, if the state follows through and invests money in the partnership, the utilization of those dollars, when we get to the point of startup companies, would be used for companies that are starting up in Minnesota. So I think the presence of the job zones, these biosciences centers, provide very nice landing targets for new businesses. I think, as you'll hear Mr. Umbach say, the greatest potential as he moves along in his presentation is that the licensing will be bought up by a 3M or a Medtronic or a mid-range or a smaller size company to work into their portfolio of production. And that's where the biggest opportunity is going to come short term, and the new startups hitting home runs is a long-term investment.
I'm very glad to hear that our investment will lead to a hopeful growth in jobs and our economy in Minnesota, because that's why we're investing our money as the third leg of your partnership.
Right.
I have a feeling Representative Sertich has a question to ask.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Actually, it's more, I think, either for you or for staff. This is sounding really good, and I'm just kind of trying to keep a running total sense. We brought up the job zones. Now, this investment would be made within the biotech job zone that we developed last year?
It's the corridor between Rochester and the University of Minnesota.
Okay. And so we did one of those, right, Mr. Chair?
That's correct.
And then, Mr. Chair, how many did we do in rural Minnesota?
I think there were 10.
10, okay. And then, Mr. Chair, did we give any money last year in our jobs finance bill to any tax-free zones? I believe we gave $2 million for this one.
I think the overall fiscal note said $5 million, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Soderbergh?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the exact number, but I think that was going to phase in over the next three bienniums that eventually. The first biennium, I think the fiscal note on for the jobs, now I think there's $1 million was set aside for the three bioscience zones. And then the governor's requested another $1 million in this budget. Mm-hmm. And then the separate other 10 zones, I think that was only in the $2 million to start out in the first biennium. And then it ratcheted up as more development occurred. But that's all estimated.
Sure.
Dollars.
Representative Sturdy.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. $2 million for this zone and then $2 million for the other 10. And then, Mr. Chair, we heard a deed proposal for this zone for $20 million earlier this week. I'm bad at 8 o'clock in the morning.
There's a partnership building in Rochester that's got $20 million in bonding that's partnering off of an existing building that Mayo has. And then there's, I believe, another $15 million investment called for along with the redevelopment account in three different areas, I believe. I think there's also an investment in the 10 zones that is in local government. When you give property tax exemptions, local government's giving away quite a bit potentially too. Yeah, Representative Sir.
Well, Mr. Chair, I got lost in those numbers. There's $20 million and $15 million. Can you just is those added together, $35 million?
I think, and then there's another million that we've already, I think it's $36 million. Representative Mahoney, you've been on that. Is that a fair statement?
Mr. Chair, you have a bill in for $20 million for three, an extension of a building in Rochester, Minnesota.
That's
for
correct.
Three floors. The governor's recommendation is for the three bioscience zones, one in Rochester, one in Minneapolis, one in St. Paul, is a total of $15 million. Last year we had $1 million in tax credits for those three zones. That's already been accounted for or taken up. The governor now has another $1 million in this year's before us this year is for a total of $2 million. I believe there is some other things out there, but those are the biggest of the three, the biggest of the group at the present time. So whatever that totals up to, and doesn't matter whether it's morning or what, I'm always bad at math.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, I've got on the one side, I've got the biotech tax-free zones with $37 million, and I'm wondering, on the other hand, when we have the 10 rural tax-free zones, what's the dollar figure there?
I could answer that. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, by the time they're done, it'll be hundreds of millions of dollars of the state investments in them, but that's only my opinion. What we can track is about $5 million.
Well, we can track. I agree with that.
Well,
Representative Sertic.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm just concerned because I want to see the biotech succeed. And this is not, I'm not knocking your project. I'm more talking on this side of the table because we've got to realize we've got to invest all
you're
over the place.
Balancing the metro rural thing is what you're doing, right?
Well, not even that. I'm just balancing what we're doing in all the individual tax-free zones and the amount of money we're investing in this from the state versus the amount of money we're investing in the other 10. So just $37 million so far to $5 million. Just keeping a running total. 5 for 10 zones, 37 for the biotech zones. Am I right on that?
You are.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
With that, any other questions? Mr. Umbach, would you continue? Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sirri.
We're gonna move on and start looking.
I think now we're gonna find out a return on our investment.
Okay. We're looking now at the findings from the economic impact analysis, and here we have understanding here is the economic impact of the partnership annually. So these annual numbers, we're looking at in 2010, 5 years out, that the economic impact of the state of Minnesota would be about $100 million. That's 98.3. And that's in that year of 2010. In the year of 2015, we're estimating that in the yellow scenario, the mid-range scenario, the economic impact would be at $167 million. And then more than a quarter of $1 billion in annual economic impact from the partnership's activities by 2020, which is 15 years out. As you can see, there's a range there, depending on which scenario is followed. If you go to the next slide, we look at biotech business startups. You'll notice right away that early on, biotech business startups in the mid-range scenario generate $191 million in economic impact at 5 years out, rising to 378, rising to 676. Why is there such a huge change between high and mid? It might be a question that you would ask. The answer is that in the high-range scenario, we modeled in one or two companies doing exceptionally well, but we have no idea of whether that will happen or not. We've been I think every state is searching for the next Medtronic. We have actually modeled into this high range scenario that. If you go to total employees statewide, this is the employment that we estimate is predictable in the mid-range scenario. We think that the level of employment in 2010 from the business spinoffs and the partnership will be 4,000 jobs statewide, rising to 7,300 or 7,400 jobs, rising to 12,400 jobs 15 years out. That's the level of employment that would be during those years that would be attributable to the partnership and the spin-offs of the partnership, not the total that would be in the industry. This is just what they could take credit for in our estimation. The other thing you got to keep in mind is that these are direct and indirect jobs. They'd be in all sorts of pay scales from senior researchers and scientists and to folks that support those jobs. This is also statewide employment. It's not necessary that companies can go anywhere, and this industry, as it grows, can be in every county in Minnesota. And we're not modeling this as if it's just going to be in one corridor or one zone or one. Anywhere. It could be anywhere. So these jobs are actually a statewide composite of jobs.
Mr. Umbach, yes. I noticed on that slide that you showed that projection in the mid area, in the middle area, is 7,357 jobs. What do we have presently?
In the whole industry?
In the whole industry. We had Bioscience 101, and we had biotech companies come up and tell us how many employees they had. 3M has some. Anybody have any idea how many we have today?
My rough guess was somewhere about industry-wide about 20,000.
Today.
And I'm looking for my team that has the real numbers on that. But I think that this would be at first a sizable percentage, and then eventually a major part of what would happen. But you have to keep in mind that these numbers are just the part that are related to the partnership. And to what we could model, not the entire industry.
Mm-hmm. Representative Osterman.
I just was clarifying that you were asking about 3M.
Yeah, well, it was not just 3M. There were other companies that were at Bioscience 101.
We were talking, honestly, and I missed it.
I'm going to move on to the total funding for biotech as a result of the state support and partnership. Here, we're really looking at the state. This is the amount of state support and partnership activity growing at $35 million in 2010. And what this involves is really the leverage funding that the partnership will be able to bring in from outside sources in low and high. Venture capital annually, we're really looking at companies being able to attract more venture capital. It's our professional opinion that money will follow good ideas and good opportunity, and that states can do things to encourage venture capital. They can do things to encourage investment in their state, but it takes good ideas, and it takes solid business plans, and it takes the ability for a company to make money and to stay afloat to be able to attract money. And we have to build the best model that we can, but then we have to let money flow to that. Government revenues, as you can see that by 2010, annually, these are annual numbers, about $16 million will flow back for the roughly $14 million per year by year five that the $70 million would attract. So if you're looking for a return on investment, we think in the mid-range scenario, it evens out in terms of tax dollars flowing back. We do see that annually growing to 2015 and then to 2020 up to $51 million. One other note I want to make, Mr. Chair and representatives, is that we did not model in additional state dollars beyond the first 5 years. So the numbers that we're showing you are numbers that are flying in a sense, or floating in a sense, without additional state support in the years going forward. So the $29 million in 15 into $51 million in 20 are actually dollars that are net to the state coffers, not requiring investment at that point. We hope, though, that when you look at the high range potential, it would be suggested that continued investment would be there, and that the partnership would continue to exist with the state as a partner because of the potential upside in government revenue and in economic impact and in job creation as times go forward. We're looking at the overall impact numbers now. These are the roll-up of everything that we have in our models, the partnership, industry growth, new company formations. This does not include, though, health savings. We do not have health savings in here. When you consider how much obesity costs the state or heart disease costs the state, even 1% or 3% would add dramatically. So in our final report, we kept the cost savings separate. We didn't want a big part of these colored bars to be health care cost savings so that people would look at it and say, oh, well, that's mostly just the potential cost savings. Cost savings are not in these numbers. They were modeled separately, and we felt that we were smart to do that because who really knows? I mean, we hope that these things will lead to opportunities, but there's been it's a little bit more difficult to model that. $290 million 5 years out, more than a half a billion, 10 years out, and 15 years out, close to a billion dollars, with the potential in the high range of $2.5 billion. I'm going to go through the conclusions really quickly. The low range scenario returns dollars to the state of Minnesota with an annual economic impact of more than $125 million 5 years out. That's the low range. If you look at the mid-range scenario, it generates nearly $300 million in economic activity annually by 2010, which is 5 years out. A total economic impact under the high range could be as much as $2.5 billion. I'm going to give you another point of reference. The Mayo Clinic, its current economic impact, net impact to the state of Minnesota, is about $4 billion, and it's the largest private non-governmental employer, so you have probably about 72,000 total jobs statewide that are directly and indirectly. So this would be, under the high-range scenario, a big chunk of what either the university or the Mayo Clinic would mean out of just this partnership and out of this $70 million. And then for every dollar invested in the mid-range, I'm sorry, I'm going to get to the last one. We believe for every dollar invested by the state, every one of those $70 million in 5 years would return $4.14 in the mid-range scenario. That concludes a very brief summary of a very exhaustive report. Mr. Chair, we have quite a lot of data and information that and cost savings for health care that we didn't present to your committee today. We chose to present the most the solid data we could present and in a time frame that would give you an overview of the report.
Appreciate that very much. Any more questions from members? Representative Cernich.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Your last two bullet points, the first one, for every dollar invested by the state of Minnesota, $300 million will be returned in economic impact. Can you explain that in a little more detail, please?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative, this slide is a slide that came from an earlier presentation, and the most recent presentation does not have that bullet in there. So I'm glad you brought this to my attention. I would consider that bullet an error in this version of the presentation. In the final version of the presentation, we actually have a different return on investment number that actually shows a return on investment. This is not showing that. So I would consider this one bullet an error. This is a slightly earlier presentation. Just on different laptops, we had different presentations today.
Sure.
And my apologies for that.
Representative Cernich.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I was ready to invest with that. And I only have a dollar, so that would have actually worked out pretty well.
It's a good investment.
Yeah, have a dollar.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be supporting this project. I think it's very important for us to stay on the cutting edge of a lot of technology. And I know this will be successful for a couple of reasons. And the first is the innovation of the university and the Mayo Clinic. But the second is the investment that the state would make into it. And I was doing different dollar figures before, but really, in essence, what we're talking about is not just the $36 million that we added up, but it's a potential $70 million over the course of the 5 years. So, Mr. Chair, more a question to you is going back to the other 10, because I think we need to make the biotech tax free zone succeed, and we can. We also have to make the other 10 succeed. We're going to be looking like investing $70 million potentially over 5 years into the biotech tax zone in the Twin Cities and the Mayo. What are we looking at investing in the other 10 over the next 5 years, Mr. Chair, as far as dollar figures?
Right now, I think with the budget constraints we operated under last year, the $5 million was a big step forward as new investment. I think you're looking at this initiative potentially really helping the other one. I look at a number of spinoffs from this initiative to go in not only metro area but outstate as far as growth and jobs and industry. The dollar figure I think is going to be determined not only by us, and I'm certainly willing to invest as we have the wherewithal to do it in our 10 job zones, but I think the local governments are investing. I think we have to be prepared to invest in people and trained people. I think for both the bioscience initiative, I think it's very important that we are ramping up to get the existing, you saw the number of employees they're anticipating. That's over and above what we have. We're looking at 12,000 some odd employees more we have to have trained so we can get this initiative to where we hope it is at least.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I agree that local communities are investing, and I apologize, I forgot to mention also that the local communities in the biotech are also investing. Rochester, City of Minneapolis, City of St. Paul are really coming to the plate, and that's commendable.
As well as the university in Mayo.
Oh, absolutely. As I said previously, that's the local investment. I'm just talking about state dollars. We're talking about $70 million of state dollars, which I think is important to make this succeed. But I would hope, Mr. Chair, that we would also be looking at an equal amount for the 10 tax-free zones in the rural part of the state. Also, if we're going to invest $70 million in state dollars to make this succeed, certainly we can find that same amount for the 10 zones in the other parts of the state and find that balance, which I think is important to do both. You talked, though, a bit about spinoffs, and I just want to make sure I heard this correctly from the gentleman that testified, that we may not see real growth in these spinoffs in potentially all parts of the state, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that rural Minnesota is part of that, Mr. Chair. We might not be seeing that for 15, it could potentially be 15 years before we see that rural growth and spinoff. Did I hear that correctly, or
Mr. Rama? We think there'll be spinoff in 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years. The real size of the companies is more likely to be later rather than earlier because of how small they start. And the real opportunity that you have earlier is in the industry, in the companies you already have that are world leaders in biotechnology already and can continue to grow because of the research that's going to be flowing from this partnership. Great. So a little bit more with the bigger companies starting as they seed, and then the smaller companies in time. And I don't really believe that geography is as big of an issue when you look at the agricultural opportunity in biotech, which you didn't have in the digital revolution or in the industrial revolution, where location was so much the determining factor.
Sure. Well, Mr. Chair, we farm rocks in my part of the state, so that's our agriculture.
You have a few trees up there.
We do have a couple of trees as well. Thanks for the presentation. That was a great presentation.
Representative Dorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, did you factor in, or how did you factor in the timing of any investment we would make? What's our window here in terms of when we act versus what results we get?
Ms. Rumba.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative. we had looked at the year 2005 being the year where there would be the first installment of the $70 million. We understand that this year, in 2004, there are other requests, particularly a building that's critical, I would say essential. What we're really looking at doing, or what my clients are looking at doing, is developing a platform for hiring and having all these scientists and people join. And a little footnote, we have not done an economic impact study on what that investment will be, but just think about all the people that need to be recruited, mostly from out of state, to come to Minnesota to set up for even the first early phases of this, so that all the new jobs will likely draw additional people too. The hope would be that in those 5 years, as that $70 million is invested, there'd be an opportunity for the state to reevaluate it. And one note I didn't make to the committee is that the models that we have were designed to be used as actual tracking tools. All the numbers that we have in the models now can be taken out and real numbers can be put in, so we can actually track annually and report annually what the experience has been in terms of where the jobs have been, where these folks have come from, where the spending has been, how much of the spending, where the patents, how many patents. And Dr. Pardee and others at the university are very interested in continuing to track this over time. I know that's a little bit beyond your question, which was about the dates of the thing, but I just want to mention to everybody that it is part of the plan to be able to put actual data into the models and track how well the partnership is doing.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a very enlightening presentation. Representative Osterman, I didn't see your hand.
I guess I've got a question for my peers, and that has to do with the $70 million. I mean, what is our commitment as a committee? It's not in the governor's recommendations this year. What are we going to do to make sure that that $14 million investment starts to flow in 2005, as our testifier has suggested? What's our plan with regard to making that happen?
Certainly those initiatives that are required to have that investment will be brought before this committee, and we will certainly act on those. I think it's easy to see from this presentation that the return on our investment is rather large. So if you look at it from being a good steward of the taxpayers' dollars, this might be a very good investment for us to make. Representative Sertich.
Well, I'd like to take a stab at that, too. Certainly we can't tie the hands of any future legislatures.
Right.
At the same time, I wouldn't put it into any fund at this time, because I saw how great that worked out for the 21st Century Fund. So you might not want to even stick it away somewhere, considering the budget that's going to happen next time. But I think we just got to go at it as we can. But Mr. Chair, I'm going to be really waiting for that $70 million additional that we're going to be seeing in the other tax-free zones too, coming from your leadership, hopefully.
I'll be looking for your initiatives. Chairman Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Ambach, thank you for your presentation here. I can see many spinoffs in this, and especially for the district I represent. You take Olmsted County, where the Mayo Clinic's headquarters are, and of course they're the major employer, but they're also a major employer in many of the surrounding counties.
Yeah.
And I think for the type of staff and the employees you're going to need here, I think there's a spinoff also to Minnesota State University, Mankato, Winona State, the tech schools. I think this thing could really develop, and I'm looking forward to working on it with this committee and with you and the Mayo Clinic.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Vic.
Well, I appreciate your presentation and appreciate all those people who worked so hard to get this initiative going.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Mahoney, I'm glad you're on the committee. And Representative Osterman, we're glad you're following it very closely. With that, we have any other questions? Any other We'll adjourn. Thank you very much.